Welcome to Animalia, a podcast all about making it easy and inclusive to learn about this big, beautiful planet, the life we share it with, and how to protect it. This is the 5-minute summary version of our episode about kelp forests and kelp farming. If you're interested in hearing more, we strongly encourage you to check out the full episode. So, kelp is a type of seaweed that possesses a lot of characteristics of plants, such as photosynthesis, but is technically an algae. Kelp forests are one of the most biodiverse ecosystems on the planet. However, it is kelp farming that has really caught our eye, a growing form of highly regenerative agriculture that will likely be a critical part of an environmentally friendly food supply. We just have to convince people to eat more of it. Joining me for this discussion is Tiffany Stevens, the chief scientist at Seagrove Kelp, a kelp farm in southern Alaska. Now, in the first part of our chat, Tiffany and I discussed kelp forests and why they are such a critical marine ecosystem and key for the health of our oceans.
The thing that links all of these super diverse high species load is productivity. Corals, mangroves, kelp systems, they're just so productive, which means that they're really good at converting local resources like light and nutrients into a biomass that other organisms can take advantage of. And so kelp specifically are diverse in that role. They're great spots for other organisms to hide, even if they're not doing anything else with the kelp, they're just using it for shelter. Kelp is a wonderful food source for a lot of these organisms as well. And it also supports this really rich microbial community because of all of the changes in seawater chemistry associated with the productivity. And that microbial community supports these invertebrates and fishes as well. And so it's just this hot spot of life.
And as part of that, kelp forests are really productive in terms of carbon sequestration as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. They are very fast growers. Kelp makes the headlines all the time, especially in California. There's, what is the quote? It's something like, it grows a meter a day. Some people quote 2 meters a day. And so it's just this very fast growth rate that is tangible for the human eyeball. You can see a daily change.
As a comparison, a kelp forest can sequester up to 20 times more carbon than a terrestrial forest of the same size. Okay, so what about kelp farming? What exactly is kelp farming?
So kelp farms, I would go agricultural with this. It's like a farm on land. It should be controlled. It should be highly planned to help reduce any kind of negative consequences from poor planning, like loss of infrastructure. And depending on the state, it's also the biology is highly controlled. Like for example, in Alaska, we cannot do strain selection. We have to collect parent broodstock from the wild from more than 50 parents at a time to seed our entire farm. And that ensures, or well, it's a conservative approach to try to prevent any kind of monoculture that might compete with wild kelp stocks. And so that's something Alaska's doing. Other states aren't quite that strict. It doesn't mean that they have bad management. It doesn't mean anything. We're still learning so much about how kelp farm genetics might influence wild populations, but it is a highly controlled endeavor.
Kelp farms today typically range from 10 to 40 acres in size. They're managed just off the coast, and it's a typically long and arduous process for getting the license to operate them, as it should be. The reason they are such a promising form of agriculture is because how fast they regenerate. Kelp can grow up to an entire foot in one day. So we are able to harvest kelp in large quantities without needing an incredible amount of land, or ocean in this case, and without needing fertilizers, herbicides, or other growth levers most terrestrial vegetation uses to scale. Kelp is also incredibly nutritious.
So yeah, kelp's very nutritious. It has a lot of calcium, a lot of it has a lot of iodine, which can also be a negative. I know this gets talked about a lot. Too much iodine can be bad for your body. Kelps are very high in it, so we probably shouldn't eat a pound every day kind of thing. On that note, I don't know if you ever watched that show Alone. It's the survival show. Mm-hmm. And they almost exclusively eat seaweeds because that's all of it that's available to them. And only one person, I think, has gotten iodine sickness. So that's kind of my metric for measurement. It's like, you know, if I eat seaweed every day, I think I'm going to be okay.
Worked on the reality show.
Let's see. They're also high in fiber, which was something that I wasn't aware of, but it's super important for our bodies. And then a lot of micronutrients. Some seaweeds are known to have a lot of B12, which can be hard to find, especially for vegan diets. Mm-hmm. And going back to what we need to think about when we're growing food, you know, one thing that's happened in terrestrial agriculture with strain selection and monocultures is that the same biomass today isn't necessarily as nutritious as the same biomass of yesteryear. There's been a lot of efficiencies in growth systems that have allowed biomass to accumulate quickly. And that's definitely, I mean, that's great for business, but only recently are we starting to learn that that has resulted in a reduction in nutritional content. And so when we advance the seaweed industry, we do need to consider nutrition. In my opinion, nutrition is one of the strongest arguments for using seaweed in food more than anything else.
Now we just need to convince more people to eat it. Kelp is still not common in most restaurants or household diets, but innovation is happening, as well as infrastructure needed to process it post-harvest and merchandise it properly in grocery. Okay, well, that's it for this five-minute teaser. If you are curious to hear more, please go and check out the full episode. Thank you for supporting Animalia, this big, beautiful planet, and all the incredible life that calls it home.